What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning. Are you all right? Are you? Good. Good. No, good, good, good. Oh, nice cup of tea. First thing in the morning. Can't beat it. All right, it has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. at Greenwich Mean Time on Tuesday, the 10th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You are watching The Bow Show. It's The Bow Show. Party time, excellent. Colloquially known as, formerly known as A Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as The Bo Show. Let's get it right. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real BBC. Load Seaters Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real LBC. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters, thank you for watching. Without you, it's not a thing, is it really? I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Okay, good, excellent. Should we jump straight into it then? See what's going on. It's, as you can imagine, still Iran, war to war with Iran, really, but a couple of other things. All the papers, all the corporate mainstream media seem to be worrying about the economy and oil still. We'll talk all about it. Okay, we've got drive less to save on fuel. It's a classic commie thing, isn't it? That they don't want you moving around. They hate people moving around. They want you to stay in your little bubble. Don't they? It's a classic thing, isn't it? Even in the Welsh, like they want to reduce driving speeds to 20 miles per hour. Even though that's fuel inefficient to drive that slowly. But ideally, they wouldn't want people moving around at all. Stay in your little pod and eat the bugs, you know, that whole thing. Oh, there's some sort of problem with world oil prices, so let's have more wind farms. No, we need to tap the North Sea. All right, drive less to save on fuel. And war is near end, says Trump. Okay, we'll get into all of that. Whether it really is or not, who knows. Okay, the Daily Mail. The Mail Group, utter subversive globalist slop, trying to pretend it's not. Trump. Iran war is pretty much over, It's pretty much over. He needs to keep winning. He was saying we haven't won enough. That was one of the things he said. We've won, we're winning, but we haven't won enough yet. Okay. I mean, it does seem, in the battlefield sense, it's largely won, isn't it? That is a reasonably fair thing to say, actually. Purely in terms of battlefield success. The Iranian Navy is almost entirely gone. 50-odd ships they're claiming they've sunk now. That's the vast majority of the Iranian Navy. The Air Force, for what it was worth, which wasn't much, is entirely gone. Apparently most of their capacity to launch missiles, not drones, missiles, is almost entirely depleted, according to them. So, strictly in those terms, it's pretty much over. In another sense, it's only just begun. This will have repercussions for many, many, many years, won't it? Anyway, all right. Trump says it's pretty much over. Yesterday, he did a press conference yesterday. I watched all of that and all the questions afterwards. Okay, so we can talk about what he said. The Mail here talking about, after hour-long call with Putin, President Trump insists the US short-term excursion to Middle East will soon end. That's what he called it a couple of times, earlier in the day as well. He called the entire adventure in Iran, as far as the United States are concerned, a short-term excursion. He used the word excursion a couple of times, or even three times, was it? Well, there you go. That's how it sort of exists in his mind, it seems. He doesn't want to be the forever war guy. I mean, you can't have it both ways. If you hate Trump and you're a TDS sufferer, or whatever, for whatever reason, or you're a pro-Iranian war person or something, you're a lefty, you're a Democrat, anyone doesn't like Trump. Can't have it both ways, criticising Trump, I mean, that he's reneged on his election promises to not get involved in forever wars, and also the idea of a short-term excursion or just like Midnight Hammer strikes like that, that they're also terrible and bad and stupid and, you know, like a vapid, you know, paper-thin, just a crazy harebrained, that Trump's just a crazy harebrained adventurer and just does things and then moves on and doesn't care because he's so heartless or whatever. This one, you can't have both of those things be true. All right, anyway. Apparently Trump did speak to Putin for quite a while, or an hour long, according to the Mail Group, yesterday. And, according to Trump, Trump says it was good. Apparently Putin said, anything I can do to help, you know, not actually fighting in Iran, but anything I can do to help, sort of thing. Apparently Trump said, well, you can end the war with Ukraine, that would help. Obviously in a broader context. Because there were reports last week, or was it over the weekend, there was some suggestion that Russia was helping Iran, either with intelligence, letting the Iranians know where some US and possibly even Israeli assets were, exactly where they were, so the Iranians could just type the GPS coordinates into their drones and hit them. Either that, whether that's true or not, that was just reported. I don't know if that's true or not. And also, which I think is true, I think, might not be, but I think, Russia sent Iran some drones to use. Or rather, it's funny, the drone thing, just a real quick minute or two on that, that these drones, because a lot of people think, when you talk about drones, you think of those little quadcopter things that are only like about this big or smaller even, you know, with, you know, quadcopter things with a little bit of explosive on, tiny little bit, and you fly them into an individual man even sometimes. Like we've seen clips of like that coming out of Ukraine and Russia, haven't we? But the drones we're talking about here are much bigger. They're like 3 meters long. They look like a little aeroplane, little delta winged aeroplane. They're about 3 meters long. It's not small, is it? I mean, that's smaller than a normal fast jet, but still not tiny. And the whole nose of it is filled with high explosive. Or whatever you want. Could be whatever you want. Could be Ebola, couldn't it? Botulism, something. VX gas, could be anything you want. Not that I think Iran are doing that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying it could be anything you wanted. So, yeah. Now, apparently Iran worked on those designs, made those first and foremost, and they're really quite straightforward. They're simple things. You don't need a fantastic degree of knowledge or engineering in order to make these things. They're pretty straightforward. But apparently they passed the designs on to Russia. Like Russia needs Iranian design, anything. Anyway, that's what happened. Then apparently Russia sort of tweaked the design, as you can imagine. That is, Russians are good at that sort of thing. And now it's flipped back, where some reports said the Russians sent some of these things back to Iran to help. Whether that's true or not, don't know. But okay, that was what was being said. But Russia, Putin, certainly isn't going to help the regime, the Iranian regime, in any sort of meaningful sense. If he's on one side of the fence or the other, it is on the US-Israel side. Effectively, I mean, it's pretty much completely out of it, right? Other than those couple of little data points I said there, if they're true, that may just well be Western, it may well be Western propaganda, like anti-Russian Western propaganda saying those stuff, saying that sort of stuff, and it isn't actually true, but who knows? Anyway, all right, Trump had a phone call with Putin. The Sun, Cheltenham's happening, if anyone who doesn't know, this is in the papers a fair bit, but I don't care about it. Horse racing. Do you like watching horse racing? Do you bet on horse racing? If so, Cheltenham's coming up, the big horse racing stuff. I don't. I don't. I've never been interested in horse racing or horses in general, really. There you go. Sorry if that's your thing. I'm not going to talk about it. Oh, yeah. Do you remember yesterday I mentioned that there was gunplay at Rihanna's house? Yeah. So that's still a bit of a thing in California. One report I saw, I only glanced at it. I didn't bother reading the whole thing, but I just sort of read the headline somewhere or other. Apparently there's a woman, some other woman, not Rihanna herself, some other woman shooting, going down. I don't think anyone was killed or anything, but there were shots and at Rihanna's house. All right. After oil price chaos, Trump war is near end. I know they've got a finite amount of space, and writing headlines is in some ways, especially front pages, is an exercise in brevity, isn't it? But you have to write like that. After oil price chaos, Trump war is near end. It's so dumb, isn't it? It's so dumb. All right, should we talk a little bit about the oil price again today? Well, it came down loads again. So I think the watchword is volatility. It's super volatile. Not just massively spiking. Oh, that's the news today. It might change again. It might just be a blip. So what happened was, by the beginning of play yesterday, the oil price had gone over $100. Well, as I keep saying, it's not just one price is there, but some of the most expensive barrels were looking at like $115 a barrel, $119 a barrel, something in that ballpark. And then yesterday, particularly after Trump in the afternoon started talking about how the war is near the end. We'll talk more on what he said. He said stuff like, I could walk away from it now and be happy. I'm not going to, but I could. And it's going to come to an end soon. Don't worry about it. After that, the price came down loads. Some of the cheapest barrels were under $70 at one point. Now it's back up again on average. It's back up to around $90. I had a quick look on most of the biggest crude, different types of crude, just before I came on here. Like the most expensive one looked like it was about $110, and the cheapest one looked like it was about $87. But on average, roughly, you can say, again, very roughly, don't shoot me, but roughly about $90 a barrel. Okay, happy to say that. The price of crude today, roughly on average, is about $90. So it came down loads in one day. In fact, it's the biggest, according to many who watch this stuff all day, every day for their living, it was the biggest one-day rebound, the biggest one-day drop, maybe ever. But that was after one of the biggest one-day spikes ever on Friday. So what you can say is it's volatile. Super volatile. Not simply that it's spiking, it's going through the roof and it's showing no signs of stopping. Not that. It's just it's volatile. In and around the $100 ballpark. Well, although that's the picture at the moment. Tomorrow, I could well bring you completely different news. It spiked again to an insane degree this time. Who knows? Who knows? But at the moment, about $90 a barrel. Again, before the war started, it was about 78, 79. So there you go. But still, loads of the papers, loads of the corporate mainstream media are going with the angle that it's just ridiculously expensive and it's going to cause economic collapse like worldwide. Your energy prices are going to go through the roof. At the petrol pump, it's going to go through the roof. All of that, because that sells papers for them, doesn't it? That gets clicks. They make you scared. That gets clicks. They're not really interested in just having a normal opinion, a normal analysis of what's happening in reality. They're not particularly interested in that, are they? Often. Some are sometimes, but often it's just scaremongering. It's just panic at the pumps, you know, that sort of thing. Crazy SOBs. Really irresponsible, isn't it, I think? When so many normies swallow it all wholesale, start living their life on the strength of what the front page of the Mirror said or something. It's irresponsible. Okay. The price of oil rebounded massively yesterday and is down again. So volatility is the watchword, as I said. All right, let's carry on, shall we? The Tory graph. Trump, Iran war, very complete. Classic Trump, isn't it? It's very complete. It's the most complete. It's complete bigly. Okay. President claims that regime has nothing left in hour-long phone call with Putin. That was one of the things Trump said yesterday. Or he's been saying for a couple of days now, really. We've decimated, or more than decimated, that's 1 in 10, isn't it? Way more than decimated, Iran's capacity to fight back. Its navy is almost non-existent at this point. It's RAF. It's Air Force. Essentially gone. They've got nothing left. Apparently also their ability for internal communications gone. You know, air defence is gone. Radar gone, the whole lot. Most of their leadership gone as well. I mean, that is the thing the United States does best, isn't it? I said this before this war started. I've said it a number of times. I've said it on Twitter. Some people didn't believe me. I say, look, winning the peace is one thing. Winning hearts and minds. Okay, America hasn't necessarily got a great track record with that. Winning a very, very protracted guerrilla war, like in the jungles of Southeast Asia or the plains of Afghanistan, which is an insanely difficult thing to do for anyone. Okay, not such a brilliant track record that. But taking out your air defences and bombing you from the sky, that is what they do brilliantly, perfectly. But people, for example, on Twitter, they didn't want to accept it. But it's obviously true. It's obviously the case. If you've got things they can blow up from the sky, you can't stop them from doing it, really. Okay. Markets rally to reverse surge in oil price and ease fears of an inflation shock. Okay, there. So the Telegraph's being reasonably honest about what happened with the oil price yesterday, but it still will feed into inflation in all sorts of ways, almost certainly. Because, of course, it will, making us all poorer in real terms. Okay. Macron sees his initiative in the Gulf as he sends unprecedented naval fleet to region. Yeah, so Macron's got all hawkish about it. Well, he thinks he's Napoleon. No, he doesn't, I'm joking. But yeah, so he won't be president for France for very much longer, is my prediction. At the next presidential election, whenever that will be, almost certainly won't win, I would have thought, unless there's some crazy coalition he's able to put together. But he's deeply unpopular in France. Deeply unpopular in France. He's had his go. He's been president for a fair few years now, hasn't he? He's had his turn. He probably won't be president for much longer. And in fact, his governments just keep collapsing. Because remember, he's president of France, not prime minister or chancellor or anything. He's the actual president. So there'll be governments underneath him. And they keep collapsing. How many has he had? Was it 6, 7, 8? I don't even know how many he's had. And they keep collapsing. Now, by rights, if he had any sort of sense of propriety, he probably would have resigned before now. But no, he just sticks there because he's a classic lefty globalist. The WEF have said, no, we don't want you to resign. You're our guy in France for the time being. So cling on, regardless of how politically absurd it is. Anyway, enough about Macron and internal French politics. He won't be president for all that much longer. So he will be looking, won't he, towards his legacy, how history will remember him, because he's going to exit the stage of history very soon. And obviously wants to be known as some sort of badass strutting around the world stage. And so the French are sending quite a big, it's described as a fleet there. It's a mini fleet. They're sending something like, I think, something in the ballpark of 8 different warships. One of their aircraft carriers and 7 or 8 other relatively large ships. It started saying stuff like, when Cyprus is attacked, calm down, mate. There's only a couple of drones that didn't do any real damage. He's saying, when Cyprus is attacked, all of Europe is attacked. It's not really under attack. A couple of drones out of Lebanon. I mean, it's the lowest possible thing you could describe as being attacked. But, okay, no, fair enough, though. It is, technically, has been attacked. Macron most affected. The French Navy most affected. Anyway, it's a bit embarrassing for the Brits, isn't it? A little bit, that they're on the scene before we are, long before the scene, and in much stronger force than we are. Other things he said the French Navy will be used to protect, open and keep open the Straits of Hormuz and protect oil tankers. Trump and Hegseth said they would do that in due course. Macron saying he'll do it, he's prepared to do it. Or at least help do it, I suppose. Anyway, the takeaway here is that Emmanuel Macron thinks he's some sort of war leader. Thinks he's Charles Martel. Emmanuel the Hammer. Yeah, right. He's a weak, weak man, isn't he? Lets his wife slap him. Doesn't he? Remember that? Do you remember that? We saw that? Do you remember that, Harry? Harry?
Oh, there you go. No.
Oh. Okay. All right, a few months ago, Macron was getting on an aeroplane, walking up the steps, as they do, standing in the doorway, but cameras could still see him. He's like, he's in the aeroplane, but cameras could still just sort of see him there. And there was some sort of altercation, some words with him and his weird old wife. His really weird, old, ugly wife. And she slapped him in the face. I think it was more than once. Like, properly sort of hit him. Like, not a punch, not like a decent right hook, but slapped him in the face, I think, more than once. And he just sort of stood there and was like, oh. There's more about her than him, to be perfectly honest, doesn't it? Mad, they're both freaks, aren't they? They're both weirdo freaks. Schools and offices urged to monitor anti-Muslim hostility. Yeah, it's a thing in the British news today, all about how the government wants to crack down on any hostility towards Muslims in any way and come out with a new Islamophobia definition and have a new Islamophobia czar in government. Because that's the problem, is it? That's the problem. There's too much anti-Muslim hate. All right. Okay. Muslims need to be protected more. We need something like blasphemy laws to protect anyone even saying anything anti-Islamic. More than we've already got. This government, they're insane. They're insane. Oh, here's a little story. Clinton knew about Adams' role in IRA. We'll talk about that a bit later. About Gerry Adams and the IRA. What Gerry Adams did or didn't know. Did or didn't order. We'll get to it. The Times, the venerable Times, anti-Muslim hostility policies risk splitting society, Labour told. Yeah. So the government came out and said we're gonna have an Islamophobia czar in government. We're gonna come out finally with our definition of Islamophobia, and we're going to have all sorts of policies put in place to tackle anti-Muslim hostility. And the government's own sort of, what is it, some sort of anti-terrorism body, some sort of anti-terrorism or even free speech type people. Various people came out and said, you're crazy, right? You are just talking about blasphemy laws now. That is basically what this is. Even Labour people, even people in the government, were like, this isn't a good idea. For a few different reasons, this isn't a good idea. It's what our government just does now, doesn't it? It comes out with things, tries to start doing things, and nearly everyone, loads of people on their own side, people from the left and the right, come out and say, we don't like this, that's bad, don't do that. It's nearly everything they do now, isn't it? Nearly everything they do doesn't please anyone other than like a small slither of people that are like hell-bent on being some sort of left of center, centrist weirdo, like Keir Starmer himself. Clinging on to sort of old paradigms, old center left, lefty type paradigms, trying to make the world fit into that frame, and it just doesn't now, does it? Okay, we'll probably talk a bit more about that during the show, the anti-Muslim stuff. Trump: Iran has nothing left and war is nearly over. President defiant as British households told to brace for soaring costs with fear of petrol at £2 a litre. Put it in perspective, it's not £2, even if it did get to £2 a litre. I don't think it isn't at the moment, but even if it did, that's quite expensive. I mean, relatively, that's expensive, relatively. Certainly compared to some places in the world. But it's not that mad, though, is it? It's not that mad. If you go to a decent grocery store, like Waitrose or something, you pay more than that for a litre of milk. Not that that's actually got anything to do with the... Actually, don't worry about that. What does it matter what milk costs in relation to petrol? But anyway, petrol could go up. Well, will almost certainly go up, won't it? Okay. What else have we got? The metro. Ugh. Gross. You're gross. Disgusting. Stop doing it. End yourself. Just close down. Close down. You're rank. One of the rankest papers. Okay. After missile strikes refineries, AA urges drive less to save on fuel as oil price soars. That's not Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. That's not Academic Agent. That's the Automobile Association. The AA says drive less to save on fuel. It's like, why is the AA getting involved in sort of geopolitics particularly? Just fix cars or don't fix cars. Don't tell me how much petrol I need to use. AA. Don't panic or brake too hard as war puts pressure on pumps. Again, the price of crude, about $90 a barrel, about $10 more than when the war started. Very, very volatile price, but at least so far, at least on the morning of the 10th of March, it hasn't gone berserk. In terms of volatility, it has. In terms of overall price, it hasn't. Okay, the Mirror. Real, real slop, the Mirror, isn't it? Getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's never great. Never great. Seems to get worse, though, doesn't it? The Mirror. Middle East crisis hits home. Cost of war. Chancellor pledge to shield families, but fears grow over fuel and energy bills. Yeah, she was going to put the price of petrol up anyway. And lots of people are saying, including Nigel, saying, don't do that. Surely now, after what's actually happened in the last week, last 10 days or so, the price is going to spike anyway, definitely. Just in the commercial sense. A normal person paying for petrol at the pump. The last thing you should really do is make it worse by adding an even more tax on it. But apparently Rachel Thieves, Rachel from Account, weird non-economist HR lady, who's the Chancellor of the Exchequer, is still going to do it, apparently. Because she doesn't know what she's doing. Really doesn't know what she's doing. You know, you must know it in real life. Someone you work with or something or other. And it's just, they just make it clear again and again and again that they don't know what they're doing. It's horrible having a boss working for someone that's completely, completely incompetent. Someone like David Lammy. Someone like Lisa Nandy. Someone like Rachel Reeves. It's just so painfully... It's painfully obvious that they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes you get an actor doing a Shakespearean role. And they obviously don't know the words that they're saying. They don't really know the meaning of the lines that they're reading. So they read it all wrong. They read all the cadence wrong because they don't get it. That's what I feel like. Have you ever seen that? Maybe a young American actress in some Shakespeare movie. She obviously doesn't know. So it's read all with all the wrong emphasis on all the words and things. That's what I feel like Rachel Reeves is like in government as a chancellor. So it doesn't really get it. Okay, The Express. Oh, it's a good paper. Reeves urged to act as soaring petrol prices are predicted in Middle East crisis. Freeze duty call, freeze tax call as fuel is to hit £2 a litre. All right, thanks, The Express. There's the Princess of Wales looking radiant as ever. The Guardian. Reeves warns of cost of living rise as war in Iran hikes energy prices. Got it. There's some pro-regime Iranian people. Is she calling out for a high five? That's not a Nazi salute, is it? And left to say, if anyone does any action even remotely close to that, you're a Nazi. Okay. Slightly interesting. UK's AI claim built on phantom investments. There's just a little story. It says that a lot of the AI... Well, exactly as it says on the tin. A lot of money that's been gone into sort of the AI sector in British companies, British versions of that, is sort of nonsense. Sort of not real. Okay. The Financial Times. G7 stands ready to tap oil reserves. It's already 5:30. Maybe I'll go into the nature of oil reserves, national oil reserves, tomorrow or another day. In fact, I will. Talked a fair bit about oil already this morning, haven't I? Crude surges past £100 a barrel before falling back. Leaders rush to rein in damage to world economy. It's not that damaged. Bonds and stocks suffer as traders bet on high inflation. Yeah, not catastrophically either, one way or another. Trump under pressure on petrol price before elections. That's another thing. It's a classic thing about how the corporate mainstream media works. For example, with TDS, anyway, for TDS. That's gone cold. Yeah. Two little examples yesterday, or was it over the weekend? For example, I saw one bit the BBC did on TV. And it was a BBC reporter, and he'd gone to somewhere, I think Texas it was. It was sort of a Vox Populi type segment where he went and talked to normal people, all types of normal people in Texas, and asked them about Trump, and asked them about the Iran war and everything. And every single one of them was saying, yeah, no, I stand behind my commander-in-chief, every single one. You know they would have shown it if they could find anyone that said, no, I hate Trump, this war's terrible. Every single one of them was like, no, I'll stand behind it. It's the right thing to do. I'll stand behind the president. I'll stand behind America. Iran is bad. They've hated us forever, haven't they? Da, 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 da. Okay. And the smarmy BBC reporter trying to tee them up so that they'll say something negative about him, and they won't. Okay, so there's a 5-minute bit of that. Then it cuts back to the reporter, and then he just says, despite everything you've just seen, most people in America hate Trump and aren't for this war. So you're editorialising. You're just... Despite what you just showed us. And the same angle, not just the BBC, all over the corporate mainstream media, saying that every time Trump says now, like he did yesterday, that the war will be over shortly, it won't be all that long, They're spinning the angle that he has to make it short because he's lost his bottle because the oil price spiked. It's like, well, the oil price has come back down, so it spiked for like a day. And when Trump was specifically asked about that, he was really sang-froid about it, wasn't he? He was really chilled out about it. He was like, it's a glitch, it's fine. He's not that bothered by it. He's really not. And he's always said it's going to be short, literally from moment one of this thing. He said it will only last a few weeks. Well, they said a few days at first and a few weeks. And his angle has always said that it will be a few weeks. But now they're spinning it that it will be short because of oil prices. That's just not really what's going on, is it? Your TDS has taken over. You know, what angle can I get? What angle can I sort of just try and say that makes Trump look weak and bad and America look weak and bad and stupid? Oh, that one. That makes some sense if you don't really pay attention to what's actually happened, the course of events and in what order. If you don't pay attention to any of that, we can just say this take, and it will make Trump look weak and bad. So they do. It's fake, isn't it? It's so fake and phony, so inauthentic. Or the idea that there's loads of trouble, at least in Britain, loads of trouble with our energy. So, and that the price will keep spiking even though we already pay loads. So, not start talking about coal again. Not start talking about a program of building multiple nuclear facilities. Definitely not talking about drilling in the North Sea more or again. No, we'll just talk about windmills now. Just talk about solar panels now. Mental. I saw a thing on Sky News this morning. Some mental lefty talking about how, because of the surge in oil, they can talk about that now, even though it's come back now, but there's been a giant surge in oil. Mr. Trump has destroyed oil. So we need to just get completely on board with windmills and solar now. These crazy, crazy people. Mad. It's mad. All right, the Iron Paper. Revealed Trump dismissed PM's Iran plea in stormy call. Let's just quickly read the blurb here. It's usually quite good, isn't it? US President dismissed Keir Starmer's arguments in fraught private call. That was Sunday or yesterday. I think it must have been Sunday. Do you remember? I think I reported on it yesterday. I had a call. Trump dismisses him. Trump was not interested in PM's attempts to explain his decision to keep Britain out of bombing attacks on Iran regime, US source tells the Eye paper. Now, anyone who watches The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, will know that I am the furthest thing from a supporter of Sir Queer Stalin. Hate his guts, think he's an enemy of the nation, enemy of the people. Think he's a disgusting person, disgusting thing. Stupid as well. But I must say there, that does annoy me a bit. That Trump refuses to listen to his explanation. Trump was not interested in PM's attempts to explain his decision. What? Like, we're not actually your prison bitch, the Donald. We're not actually the 51st state. The Prime Minister of Great Britain is not actually one of your governors, I'm afraid. We're not even going to listen to his, why he's doing what he's doing. You're not even going to listen to it. Well, screw you then. Now, I'm half American. I'm pro the United States in loads of ways. Everyone watching this from the United States, all the Donald MAGA people, don't go, don't leave me. We can still make this work. But you've got to see, from a British person, an English person's point of view, that's frustrating. He wouldn't even really listen to his attempt to explain what his decision was. Oh, because Nettie has got you wrapped around his little finger, we've got to do everything he says as well. No, we don't, no. You're not even going to listen to it. 20-minute call, not a rosy affair, they say. Oh, well. Tensions grow over King's proposal. Okay, King Charles is probably still going to go to the United States. Okay, all right. The Star, not interested in the war in the Middle East. The Star, race queen exclusive. That's to do with horse racing, by the way, not like race relations. Race queen. The queen of the races. Yeah, stupid story. This woman is a jockey, or was. She's pregnant now. And Cheltenham's happening. Big race meet, one of the biggest race meets of the year. That's it. It's just, I mean, there's nothing to that. It's just, that's a female jockey. Okay, nothing about the biggest war in a generation, says the Star. Okay, shall we have a look at our poll, today's poll, Harry? Engage. We said, how long do you think the Iran war will last? And we gave you the options of a week, a month, a year, or forever, ever. Forever, ever? And it's come back here. A week has got 9%. A month, 42%. Winning with 42%. A year, 21%. And forever, ever, 28%. And that's well over 1,200 people have voted on that. So fair few votes, right? Oh, I think that's great. Brilliant. Thanks for voting. Thanks for watching the Bo Show and thanks for voting. Because if it's like 12 people, if it's like 40 people, or even if it's like 250 odd, that's not bad, but it's not great. But 1,200, it will pop over 1,300 in a minute. That's a decent cross-section of opinion. It really is. So, a month is winning. Yeah, if I took that poll, I would either have clicked a week or a month. I may well have clicked a month. Something like that. That is probably the most realistic thing, isn't it? I think. Yeah. So, a week is losing the most there. So, everyone sort of realises it's going to last a while yet still. Okay, good. Just ticked up to 43%, say, a month, in and around a month. I think Trump and Hegseth are probably right that when they say, they're probably not lying, when they'll say this will go on for another 4, 5, or 6 weeks, something in that ballpark. Because after a while, they will be bouncing rubble, so-called bouncing rubble. There will be no targets left in Iran, almost. So there's nothing left for them to really hit, particularly, unless they want to start taking out like an individual man, which they're not going to do, but... All right, should we move on to the websites? Oh, it's already 22. Let's have a quick look at the websites. There's a few stories that were of interest. All right, first of all, then the BBC. Quickly to say, the Iranian football team. There's a big female football, soccer, to our American friends. There's a big female football tournament going on in Australia at the moment. And the Iranian female team, some of them at least, have claimed asylum now in Australia. Okay. Could talk all about that and when the Afghan women's team a few years back did it and how that is actually... There's loads more to that. Well, a bit more. It's all one thing for these individual ladies to get to stay in Australia, but they leave family at home, which may then be in trouble with the regime. It's much more multifaceted thing, usually. Faisal Islam, who now thinks he's some sort of economist, talking about oil prices. Oh, yeah, that missile that hit the girls' school in the south of Iran right on the first day. It's increasingly looking like it was a US mistake. Increasingly. It might not be. It's not absolutely 100% conclusive, but evidence is sort of starting to point that way. Like actual evidence. Well, that happens in war. That's what happens in war. Happy now. Pro-war people. Hawk people. That big fire in Scotland. The whole building collapsed, didn't it? And there's loads of other businesses. That third world vape shop run by people. It's obviously a front. Nearly all vape shops, I imagine, are fronts for money laundering or people smuggling or drugs. Certainly money laundering, isn't it? One burnt down and loads of other normal people's, actual normal, law-abiding, normal Scottish people, their businesses were lost. Loads of lawyers even are saying that the jury restriction plan is bad. So quickly to say, because it's a story we've covered before, certainly on the main podcast of Low Seated before a number of times, that David Lammy and the Justice Department and the government want to scrap jury trials for all but the most serious crimes. If it's a rape or a murder trial, you still get a jury, but other than that, and they claim it's to do with getting rid of the backlog, the giant backlog of criminals we've got. Don't worry about why that might be. Just keep packing the country of net hundreds of thousands of people more year on year on year without fail. But we've got a backlog of criminals now. Best way to deal with that? Scrap the concept of having a jury trial. Loads of even Labour backbenchers, loads of them, dozens, maybe as many as 80, are going to hopefully block that in Parliament. But even lots and lots of other lawyers are saying, no, that's sort of crazy. Like, don't do that. That's terrible. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater in various senses. Of course it is. Like David Lammy cares. It's not his heritage, is it? This country. It's not his history and his heritage. He wants us to pay reparations to his people, doesn't he? He's not one of us, is he? By his own definition, in his own mind. So he doesn't care about destroying 1,000-year-old tradition. Scrap it. Throw it on the scrap heap. What does he care? Make us pay reparations while we're at it. Psycho. Idiot. People must have seen him on Celebrity Mastermind. How embarrassing. David Lammy, our Justice Secretary and Deputy Prime Minister, ex-Foreign Secretary David Lammy MP, the Right Honourable David Lammy MP, went on Celebrity Mastermind and on the general knowledge bit, he revealed the fact that he doesn't really know anything, like a child, like a 7 or 8 year old child. You know, if you give a small child a general knowledge quiz, and it's not their fault, is it? They're a little kid. They don't know. You ask them something pretty straightforward, like who was Marie Antoinette or something. They're just like, I don't know. That's what David Lammy was like. Like, he had the mind of a small child. How you move through the world and become an adult and glean that small amount of general knowledge is remarkable. Anyway, enough about David Lammy. Jerry Adams. He's in the news. He's on trial at the moment. It's a civil trial. Have we got time to go into it? A real quick say, anyone doesn't know. Jerry Adams used to be the leader of Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin. The political wing of Irish republicanism. Right. How to explain it for people who might not know anything about it. There's the island of Air, the island of Ireland. Most of it is the Republic of Ireland, with its completely its own government and everything. A little bit in the corner is Northern Ireland, controlled, supposed to be anyway, controlled from mainland Britain, from Westminster. Well, it's even more complicated than that, but the point is, the Republican forces, the Republican movement, had a political wing, Sinn Féin, that's supposed to be a political party, like Labour or Conservative or whatever. And then they had a paramilitary wing that did bombings and shootings, the IRA. Right, the Irish Republican Army. And they were supposed to be never the twain shall meet. Right, one had nothing to do with the other. Jerry Adams was the leader of Sinn Féin, the political wing. And whenever the IRA did things, you know, like I don't know, something like blow up a load of soldiers in the middle of London. Or whatever. Blow up the Duke of Edinburgh's dad. Blow up the Old Bailey. Blow up Canary Wharf. Blow up loads of things all the time. Whenever they did anything like that, Jerry Adams would just say, well, it's nothing to do with me. We have nothing to do with any of that. I don't know anything about it. That's the paramilitary side of it. And I'm the political wing. I'm clean as a preacher's sheets. Didn't do nothing. Well, most people that aren't complete idiots over the years have always said, well, that almost certainly isn't the case. That almost is unlikely that that's the case. But then there was never any, like, slam dunk evidence. So anyway, now though, he is actually being taken to court, the actual High Court in London. It's only a civil case. And the three men that are actually bringing the case, they're only asking for £1 in damages. It's purely for to have it on the record, basically. Jerry Adams is not going to go to prison for like 30 years or anything. And even if he loses, he'll only have to pay probably their costs, and £1. But the record will show, if he's found guilty, that he did in fact in some way, whether directly or indirectly, have something to do with the paramilitary operations of the IRA. Yeah, giant bombs. How big that bomb would have been? Stocklands. I remember that bomb. I heard that bomb. I was like 20, 25 miles away. It was in like 1996, I think. I was about 25 miles away in Essex one evening in a pub. I was very young. I wasn't old enough to be in a pub, but you're old enough to... I wasn't drinking, but you're old enough to sort of be there with an adult. The adult's playing darts. We heard this like very far away thud, like a thump sort of a noise. Giant bomb, that was. Giant bomb. Hear it 20, 25 miles away. Not many people were killed in that one, but that's not really the point. A couple of people were killed. Anyway, Gerry Adams is on trial because there does seem to be evidence that he, in fact, was talking to the IRA, and the allegation is that he was even ordered them. He ordered certain bombings, certain terrorist events. Well, we'll have to let the court decide. All right. It's already 10-2. There was a few other bits and bobs, was there? A few other interesting stories. Oh, it looks like the MPs vote down social media ban for under-16s. Probably good. I don't like the idea that little kids get to see gore and porn and things on the playground, but it might be mission creep, where it's just the government restricting the freedom of the internet in more, you know, mission creep. That will be the beginning of increasing crackdowns. Okay, the Daily Mail. There was something in the Daily Mail that was interesting. The Greens. Nightmare coalition of hard left parties and Greens could trigger, quote, very substantial losses for Labour in May elections, local elections, that is. Nadine Dorris talking some complete nonsense. Of course she is. Is this someone getting Rolf Harris? This is new to me. I'm reading this in real time. Paedophile TV star Rolf Harris's £4 million English mansion to be auctioned off. Oh, right, slop. Complete slop. Okay. The rift between Harry and Wills. Don't care. Corbyn, Galloway, Polanski pact threatens Starmer's Labour with utter catastrophe. Possibly. There are quite a lot of lefties in the country. UK becomes world's cash machine as one in four settled migrants claim benefits. Yeah, the argument that we need them in any way is nonsense. We don't need these people. Every single one of those persons is a criminal. They're committing a criminal act by breaking in, by invading this country. We don't need them. And then when they do get here, a lot of them don't work at all, let alone being a net contributor. That's something else entirely. They don't work at all. Oh, and per capita, the crime rate is through the roof, particularly sex crime. We don't need these people. They need to be stopped. We need to put 4-2 Commando, or whoever, the Royal Marines, in the channel, in speedboats, turn these people back. These are invaders. These are filth. They're coming here to sponge off us and commit crime. The Care for Calais types, wrote Dave Paulden, Zach Polanski, real name David Paulden, is one of those. We should let these people in. We should just let them in. More safe and legal routes. That's mad. Unless you want society, unless you want the streets to be truly, truly sort of apocalyptic, the state of our society to become like Honduras or Mexico. In the worst places. Just can't go outside without being a victim of crime. Is that what they want? It sort of is, isn't it? It is, because they're mad. The Sun, there's something about Gerry Adams again. Gerry Adams, who didn't do nothing wrong. Didn't have anything to do with terrorism at any point, he claims. So I'm ashamed. All right, Rachel Thieves is a moron, yep. Yeah. Glasgow burnt down and Ian Huntley's dead, remember? Alright. quickly jump across the pond. Oh, it's all Trump, all to all Trump in the slimes. Of course it is. Of course it is. All right, it's nearly 5:02. Should we just have a quick 5 minutes on this day in history before we get to the Rumble Rants and the Super Chats? On this day in history, 10th of March, through the centuries, what happened? In the year 241 BC, the Battle of Agates Island, maybe pronouncing that incorrectly, when the Romans sink the Carthaginian fleet, ending the First Punic War. On epochs, Harry? On epochs of the Lotus Eaters, my show behind the paywall, consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, gold bronze tier membership, lotuseaters.com. Hundreds of hours of me talking about history. I've got more than one video, I'm pretty sure. Certainly one, all about the First Punic War. So this is like before Hannibal even, which is the Second Punic War. The showdown between Carthage and Rome over Sicily, largely over Sicily. Rome went from being a non-maritime power, in essence, to defeating Carthage at sea. The main Mediterranean, certainly Western Mediterranean, maritime power. So a turning point in history, really, that the Romans won, well, massively, that the Romans won the First Punic War. I mean, Rome ultimately won all the Punic Wars, but 20-year-long war, the First Punic War. Crazy long, very, very bitter thing over Sicily, the Romans and the Carthaginians. Okay, on this day in 1783, USS Alliance, under Captain Barry, fights and wins the final naval battle of the American Revolutionary War off Cape Canaveral. Yeah, I mean, the war was over before then. It really wasn't. Well, it wasn't, but that was just the last naval engagement. It was Yorktown was the big one, wasn't it? Battle of Yorktown. Okay, on this day in 1861, West African political leader El Hadj Umar Toole seizes the city of Segal, destroying the Bambara Empire in Mali. Don't care. In 1920, Home Rule Act is passed by the British Parliament, dividing Ireland into two parts. Very apt, we talked about Gerry Adams, weren't we, a moment ago. It is rejected by the southern counties, with the Anglo-Irish War continues for another year. Yeah, so God, there's so much to be said about that. It's not a history show, so I won't go on and on about it, but... Well, there's just loads there, isn't there? If you're English or Irish, or British at all, should know all about this war. You know, started with the Easter Rising in, 1916... It's been the same old scene since 1916. Yeah, right in the middle of World War One. Thanks for that. Nice timing. Right in the middle of World War One, the Easter Rising. Anyway, yeah, the Irish just wanted their country back. Fair enough. I'm for nationalism in your own country. I'm absolutely for Indian nationalism in India. Yeah. Good luck to Peruvian nationalists in Peru. Not that I don't recognise Northern Ireland or anything, but I don't argue with Irish nationalism in Ireland, particularly. Anyway, that was nice, Easter Rising. Anyway, by 1919, what was it, from 1919 to 1921, I believe, I might be wrong, or to 1922, there was like the Anglo-Irish War, the Black and Tan War, some people call it. The Black and Tans. There's loads. There's so much detail here. So much detail. All sorts of atrocities on both sides. Yeah, okay. Home rule. It'd been a massive thing in English politics for ages. For like a century or more. More. Home rule. Finally, 1920. Should have happened like 50 years before that. 100 years before that. In the age of Wellington. When Wellington was Prime Minister. 100 years before. Or so. It would make whole governments collapse, the question of Irish Home Rule. It wasn't until 1920, that is remarkably late. Should have been long before that, really. But anyway, alright, whatever. On this day, 1945, deadliest air raid of World War II sets Tokyo on fire after nighttime B-29 bombings. More than 100,000 people die, mostly civilians. Yeah. That firebombing on Tokyo, it created a firestorm. And a lot of the buildings weren't made of stone. Crazily destructive. More casualties than the actual nuclear bombings of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Look at that picture of Tokyo. It's look doesn't it? It looks like a nuke hit it, almost. And the accounts of it frightful, absolutely frightful. People turned to human torches. You can't even jump in the river because the river's boiling. It will boil you alive. There's no escape, sort of no escape. Can't hide in a cellar because all the air, the fire sucks all the air out. So you'd have cellars full of people that are suffocated to death. The numbers, 100,000 in one night, in one night. I think that was when Curtis LeMay, the US Air Marshal type dude, I think it was after that he said, if we, the Americans, lose this war, we'll be hung for being war criminals, for committing atrocities. They didn't stop them, though. Didn't stop them one way or another. And it's not like Japan, well, let's not get into the efficacy of the war. But on epochs, Harry. On epochs, there's loads of seaters. I've got a couple of bits of content. Certainly one all about the road to Pearl Harbor. Long form bit of content, an hour and a half or more is it, of me talking about what happened to get Japan to the point that they did Pearl Harbor in 1941, December 7th, 1941. There's a long story, right? It's not simply that the Japanese were just completely insane aggressors out of nowhere. That's not what happened. Okay, it's a complicated story. All right. On this day in 1952, a military coup led by General Batista in Cuba. 1952. So Batista's a very, very... He's the guy who ruled Cuba but just before Castro. Very, very long, complicated career and life. Interesting, Batista. He wasn't a good guy. But he'd ruled as sort of a military... The ruler of Cuba for years before the war, before the World War II. Had some puppets be the president. And then eventually he made himself president. And then he was ousted, lived in America for a few years, and then wanted to come back, was going to try and legitimately win an election to come back in 1952. It became absolutely clear he was going to lose at the ballot box, so he just led a military coup d'etat against Cuba, the place he used to run for many a year. Eventually, a few years after that, Castro coups him. Long, complicated, interesting story. Something about the NASDAQ there, which isn't interesting. All right, that's it. Should we do the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this so I can actually see the screen properly. All right. On the Rumble Rants, God, there's quite a few. It's St. Luke a lot. St. Luke and Busted Brian. All right, I'll quickly whip through them because it's already gone nine. Luke Stewart says, "Good day, Bo. US may have been good at sinking around Navy, but there's still that one New Zealand captain who sunk a tenth of hers, and I'll take Iran female soccer team over ISIS brides." True. Okay, yeah, take her over ISIS brides. Still haven't looked into that thing. I've got to do it. Okay. The New Zealand lesbo captain woman. Okay, Luke again says, "I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to control Trump by making the oil volatile, kind of like what happened to that female prime minister you had not long ago when the banks effed the economy over." Yeah, interesting point. Maybe you're right. I suspect not, though. Liz Truss you're talking about, because it's something... What happened to Liz Truss is quite a specific thing. I see your point. I can see where you're coming from. I just don't think that's necessarily the case, because various oil prices aren't controlled by, like, it's not like the OBR. There's not just one body that can just screw with Trump. It's the market. But anyway, interesting point nonetheless. Luke also says, "I do think this will end with boots on the ground, but it will be like Venezuela, taking enough senior leadership that capturing and humiliating will be quite easy and the final blow." Yeah, maybe. We're talking about, yesterday there was some talk of limited boots on the ground, US actual boots on the ground, perhaps. Talk of it. We'll see. We'll just have to see. Luke again says, "I know this sounds crazy, but I'm wondering if Trump got a normal IR general or someone in his pocket now to help rally the people." Oh, Islamic Iranian regime, I guess. Then they can go out and weed out the last of the Islamists in Iran. Well, yeah, that'd be good. When people asked Trump yesterday, even, if we know you, Trump, don't really like that that Pahlavi, the Crown Prince Pahlavi, not a big fan of him, or it's clear that he actually doesn't enjoy overwhelming support in Iran, like, at all. Apparently, I'm just telling you what I've read and seen. that most people in Iran are not dying for him to come back. It seems like a lot of people outside of Iran like him, and he does enjoy some support inside Iran, but it's not, it's far from like universal, just waiting for him to come and lead them to a new life. It's not exactly that. Trump's not particularly interested in him, it seems, State Department, not massively anyway. People ask, oh, who else then? Have you got anyone else in mind? And he was keeping his cards relatively close to his chest, saying, yeah, we've got people in mind, you know, but we'll talk about that when we get there. He didn't just list a name. He hasn't really singled out one person that he's saying he's our guy. He's the State Department's guy. There isn't anything like that. But yeah, you would hope that he would have some of the Iranian generals in his pocket one way or another. Okay, Luke also says, I will admit on the bright side, it has made the pro-self-sufficient get out our own oil argument has become a lot more fun, a lot more rum loud, and the government has a hard time trying to not get outflanked. Yeah. Well, America is self-sufficient. It's a net exporter of oil. It's got more oil than it uses domestically. Yeah. Thanks to Trump, drill baby, drill. If it was still under the Biden Kamala years, it wouldn't necessarily be the case. Duke says, Bo, sorry for all the cheap rumble rents, running a bit low on money this fortnight. But we'll be back to using the normal YouTube after tomorrow when I get paid. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. We appreciate the interaction. And then we've got another four from Busted Brian all in a row. So I think I'll just have to sort of read them all in a row. So Busted Brian says, I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but there are some considerations from the US side you might want to entertain other than Israel. For example... continued in another super chat. For example, your military's in despair, in disrepair. Your government isn't listening to its people. Labour covers up grooming gangs while telling Muslims they're the face of modern Britain. If the call was about oil, Trump's response. Yeah, no, I agree with all those things. Our military is in disrepair. The government absolutely doesn't listen to its people. Labour has absolutely covered up the grooming gangs for many, many years and telling Muslims they're the face of modern Britain. Yeah, I know, Busted Brian. Yeah, I know. Well, you think that's news to me? Okay. Trump's response would be, if you need the oil, then drill, baby, drill. I just said that. Yeah, drill, baby, drill. And then finally, Busted Brian says, anyway, I want to reiterate, I understand the criticisms, especially about Israel. I only ask you try to be fair if you can. I like you guys, you know, ha ha ha. Yeah, no, it's fine, Busted Brian. Yeah, it's fine. I like a little bit of pushback. That's fine. You're one of the glorious band, the chosen few. I don't mind a bit of pushback. I get it. I understand. Yeah, okay. I mean, maybe you would accept the criticism though as well, that Trump seems to do whatever Bibi and Kushner ask him to do, more or less. Is that not true, Brian? No? When AIPAC wants Congress to vote a certain way, it basically does. Is that not true? Okay. Global Church History says, today, 1629... the year 1629 AD, Charles the Martyr dissolves Parliament. Charles the Martyr. Oh, Charles the First. Charles Stuart. Charles the First. Charles the Martyr. Okay. 1629. Right, yeah. Classic bit of history there. Brilliant bit of history. Love it. Oliver Cromwell days. Civil War. I'm going to do all sorts of stuff on the Civil War. I'll do a long, really, really long form. Really, really long form series about the monarchy. I'm up to Henry the... Sixth at the moment. So eventually I'll get to Charles the First, Cromwell, Charles the Second. I've already got some content on that stuff. Also on History Bro, my own channel, History Bro. I believe there's one or two bits. But yeah, when he dissolved Parliament, yeah. He needed a Parliament to... He had his personal rule where there was no Parliament. Then he really needed money. Really, really needed more money. So he called a Parliament to so they could vote him more money. But then... with echoes of the French Revolution, which is later in history, of course, then they just started asking for loads of things for themselves. More representation, all sorts of other things. curbing his power, all sorts of stuff. And he's like, whoa, stop it. I'll try and survive without the money. Just end this. I'm dissolving Parliament. Forget it. End it. But the genie was out of the bottle a little bit. A bit too late for that. Okay, Mr. Gently Benevolent says, why are you dressed as the architect from The Matrix, friend Bo? Am I? I thought this was quite a nice blazer. I've seen The Matrix, and I remember the architect at the end of like the third one. I don't remember what he looks like. Does he dress like this? I don't even remember. Is this a subtle way of telling us you're actually puppeteering all these events? I wish I was the architect puppeteering the world. Okay. Anthony Paul Willis says, I've had a certain Flock of Seagulls song stuck in my head for a fortnight now, thanks to Trump. Flock of Seagulls, what did they? And I ran so far away. Iran and Iran. Yeah, okay, got it. Yep. Flock of Seagulls, you'd have to be a certain age to get that one. You'd have to be in your 40s, probably. At least. Or a big fan of 80s music, anyway. Liam Sexton says, greetings from the Pacific Northwest, lovely bit of the world, of the US as a member of the US Navy. Well, wait. Pacific Northwest, love to live there. Yeah. Washington State or something. Been watching Twin Peaks lately. Lovely bit of the world, absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Okay, Harry Hobag says, what's your thoughts on the new F1 season? Well, there's only been one race, hasn't there, in Australia? It was all right, it was interesting. Wasn't the most fantastic race ever, but it wasn't completely boring. So, we'll see. Need to see another few races before I make an all-out decision whether these new rules are any good or not. But I've seen worse. I've seen races even in Australia when there's basically no overtaking. Like, you're lucky to get two or three overtakes the whole race. And it wasn't as bad, it wasn't that bad, was it? There was some overtaking, but particularly at the front. But we'll see. They're saying, people that know, saying that each race will be pretty different, each track will be pretty different, whole different dynamic this year, whether that's true or not. We'll have to see. There's only been one race. It's a bit early to say. Chris281 says, better poll question would be, which will come first, the end of the war or the release of GTA 6? Both are uncertain. I still like San Andreas myself. GTA San Andreas. Back on the PS2. That's my favourite GTA. Still, to this day. Okay. Howtozer says, morning, Bo. I'm Lord Nevara on the website. I'm starting chemotherapy later on today. Oh, sorry to hear that. Still sticking around in the chosen band, though. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Best of luck with that. Yeah, best of luck with that. If they're putting you on chemo, then it may well work and be all right. Sometimes it can work wonders. Sometimes it really can. Best of luck, buddy. Yeah. Best of bloody luck. Okay. Zeitgeist3208 says, I think Trump likes to play Chinese whispers with all of the lefty globalist leaders, telling them all a slightly different story just to find out which ones he can trust. None of them. I think he has fun playing this game. Yeah, quite possibly. There's a decent amount of money on that super chat as well, so thanks for that. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Maybe I think Trump probably does play a few head games with people. You know, the whole art of the deal thing. He does play psychological games with people a lot more than some other presidents, right? Someone like Joe Biden or even George Bush Jr. They didn't, or they're not capable of it, really. Like, they're not capable of playing a slightly longer game. Maybe not 4D chess, but at least 2 or 3D chess. They weren't capable of it. They didn't do it. What you see is what you got, and that was it. That really was it. There's no real manipulation going on in any way, because they can't. I think Trump does do it a bit, but okay. I don't think he's like a 5D chess uber genius or anything, though, either. He's just I've said it before, haven't I? He's like a New York property magnate guy. That's what he is. So, in other words, that is a lot more savvy than most people. Not sort of crazy genius Machiavellian statesman for the ages, but still, more savvy than most people. Okay. Global Church History says, today in 947, later Han established in a place in China. Interesting. Sorry, I don't know much about that. Can't really add much to that. Fortean Barber says, petrol's up to accept 15 minute cities, says AA. Oh, petrol's up, so accept 15 minute cities, says AA. Yeah, I know, crazy, right? Pipe down, AA. Oh, a quick rumble rant just came in from Ramshackle Otter, saying Grove Street, mother effer. Grove Street. Grove Street, baby. That's a that's a reference to Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, by the way, if you didn't know. Representing Grove Street. Thanks for that, Ramshackle Otter. Okay. 14 Barber. Yeah. AA, not academic agent, the Automobile Association. Calm down. Stop telling us about global politics and what we should or shouldn't do with our own petrol. Just fix cars. Yeah. Okay. There's a fair few more, so I'm going to whip through them, I'm afraid, if you don't mind. Thank you for sending them in, though. Chris again says, have you noticed that the oil prices going up cause everything to get more expensive, but when it goes down, nothing gets cheaper? Yeah, classic, isn't it? Classic inflation thing. Nothing's up but the rent. Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Really frustrating. Zeitgeist. Every politician on the left has no life experience outside of university, yet they easily fool people into voting for them. Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Really frustrating. Do a PPE at Oxford and go straight from that to being a paid employee of a political party, Labour or Conservative, and then a few years later get elected. And that's it. That's your life. That's your work experience. You never did a normal job. Yeah, it's mad. And they're going to tell us what to do and how to live. They've got all the answers. No. Yeah, quite right. Lee Clegg says, they tried to put an electric fire out with water. Yeah, that thing in Glasgow. Yeah, you see the guy with the fire extinguisher. It's a red fire extinguisher. It's got water in it. And it was an electrical fire. So you really want the one that shoots foam or something, don't you? Or a particular type of gas. CO2 one, would that work? I don't know. But water's not a good idea. Water's definitely not a good idea. Because they're retarded. That person must have been so dumb that it would have been close to being retarded. You don't know anything about fires or fire extinguishers or putting water on an electrical fire. How do you not know? Again, how are you an adult? How's that not the sort of thing you're taught as a child? You're taught how to read and write, how to swim, how to ride a bicycle, and not to put water on an electrical fire, that sort of thing. Don't jam a knife in a toaster that's on. You know, like, simple stuff. Simple. Oh, God. Okay. Inquisitor Media says, did you see the Unison Equality Chief punch a woman at the Manchester anti-racism rally where Hannah Spencer was talking? Whole thing looked a mess. I did not see that. That sounds hilarious. The Unison Equality Chief punch a woman at an anti-racism rally. Well, if she's all right, it's hilarious. If it's a real injury, not so funny. Okay. Mr. Pastry 2010 says, can Zach Polanski be referred to as David Paulden like they do with Tommy? Yeah, please do. Yeah. I quite often on this or on my other channel I do with Nate, the State of Politics. We nearly always say Zach Polanski, real name David Paulden. Or is it David Paulden? I mean, he's Jewish, so isn't it pronounced David? But yeah, feel free to call Mr. Polanski David Paulden. Absolutely. Why not? Principal Uncertainty says, being an island was once Britain's greatest defence. Now it is our weakness. When you can sink boats, when you can't sink boats anymore, you need a defensive land barrier. I mean, interesting point. Interesting point. I mean, we could defend ourselves in the Channel. And the British Navy isn't that tiny. Again, all it would need is one, like, cruiser, one frigate with a few, half a dozen speedboats, launches, tenders, whatever it is, that's able to launch a few speedboats with Royal Marines on them. We're capable of that. We've got the capacity to do that. They choose not to. Day after day after day, they're choosing not to do that, aren't they? Mr. Dickie Bingo says, 256 BC, Gaius Dilius says, give me a month. 256 BC. I don't know what you're referring to there. I'm sorry. Was that in the... That was the First Punic War as well, right? That's the First Punic War as well. God, it's been a while since I brushed up on the First Punic War. Exactly the details. Many, 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 many battles and back and forth in that one. Again, 20 years long. I don't know if you're making that up or I've just forgotten who Gaius Dulius is. Oh, was he the guy that... Was he the one that found or captured a Carthaginian ship? Or at least the blueprints for a ship. And then the Romans started building, started copying the design of Carthaginian ships. I'm sorry, I can't quite remember. Sorry about that, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Quiet Blackpool said, did you ever see Godzilla Minus One? Great movie. No, I didn't, I'm afraid. Godzilla Minus One. No, I never did. Was that the one that was not that long ago? It was relatively low budget, but critically acclaimed. Everyone said it was really good. Is that that one? I'm afraid I didn't. I meant to, but never got round to it. Mr. Pastry again says, UFC Epoch anytime soon? Not anytime soon, but I would like to do one. I should do one. Is there anyone in the office who loves UFC? One of the other presenters I could do it with. If not, I could do it. I would do. I've thought about it before. Talking all about UFC from the Hoist Gracie UFC 1 all the way through to now. That would be cool, wouldn't it? I should do that. I would like to do that. I think I will do that, but not anytime soon. And by that, I mean not in the next 6 months or so. But it's a good idea, and I would like to do it. I think I will do it. Don't hold your breath. Zeitgeist says, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. Obviously, that's a quote from, originally from the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? But it was said by Robert Oppenheimer when he was asked to describe his feelings about when the first nuclear test happened. He said he was reminded of the line from the Bhagavad Gita, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. Okay, and the last one for today, Principal Uncertainty says, I do recommend getting a Quest 3 and playing Green Hell SOA. No idea what that is, sorry. Do you know what that is, Harry? Are you a game? Is that a more a younger person thing? Quest 3 and playing Green Hell SOA.
Yeah, so yes. Quest 3 is a VR, and I think Green Hell is like a survival game.
Okay. All of that information was new to me. I'm still playing San Andreas from like 1998 or something. Literally still playing Civilization 4. It's like 20 years old or more. Principal Dunsett, he says, my buddy and I play as Colonel Kurtz. What, from Apocalypse Now? And have nearly eradicated an entire tribe. Oh, okay. Well, it sounds good. I haven't got a VR thing or anything. I've got an Xbox 360 that I never really touch. I'm glad you enjoy it. Sounds cool. All right, that's the show. It's now 24 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Tuesday the 10th of March in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for joining me. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. I know you can't always when you're grown up and you've got a real life. You've got to just work and do something boring or whatever. Loads of responsibilities that are dull and boring, you've got to do them. But if you can, if you're able... if you've got some free time, you know, carpe diem, seize the day, try and make it count, try and do something valuable with your time. You've got less time than you think, almost certainly. All right, well, with that said, I'll see you tomorrow morning, and until then...
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.